my inheritance was, you live in radical faith and you do whatever God calls you to do. So when I said yes to the Lord, I knew what following Jesus looked like. It looked like going to Nebraska and raising support for 15 years, going to seminary, being the youngest chaplain in Lions history, starting a church and living in faith. Like that's the call of everyone to follow Jesus. You know, we can minimize that, but it's absolute abandonment and surrender and saying yes to him.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com.
This is Family Life Today.
All right, so today's an exciting day on Family Life Today.
I'm so excited.
This has never happened before.
First time.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
We have our youngest son with us in the studio today, Cody Wilson. Welcome to Family Life Today.
Let's go. I'm excited to be here with my parents.
Hey, don't give away any of our secrets or bad things we've done.
You can say anything you
sure
want.
You guys have written two books with all your mistakes in them, so I think people know pretty well.
Hey, so you're married. How many years have you been married?
I've been married 9 years. We'll be celebrating 10 this coming June.
Two kids?
Yeah, I got two kids, 4.5-year-old son, just started preschool, 2.5-year-old daughter, both their birthdays. My daughter's December 22nd, my son's December 26th, so definitely most expensive week of the year.
Yeah, it makes our Christmas bill go up
it's
higher.
It's awesome.
Because it's not just Christmas. It's awesome.
And what a blessing to have such a godly legacy.
Here we go.
Yeah, we just got a dog, so.
No, we got a dog.
We share a dog.
You guys let us watch Boots every couple of weeks. It's awesome because we miss our dogs. But
he's a mini Bernie Doodle. So our home is crazy right now. It's super fun.
Not a lot of sleep going on.
Not a lot of sleep, but.
And what else someday. You doing right now? Tell us what you're doing.
Well, I lead.
Don't tell us. Tell our listeners. We
tell listeners.
Know.
I lead a ministry called Living Army. We're pretty much a prayer house, function a lot like a local church, but our heart is worship. It's prayer. And all through the week, we create spaces for people to encounter Jesus through worship, through prayer, and have services on Sunday. And yeah, that's what I'm doing full time right now is leading the ministry. We started that, me and a friend, Brady, in 2020, and been doing that for about the last 3 years, leading that. I was a teaching pastor at my dad's church before then, which was super fun as well, teaching with him. And getting to do ministry with him. We still do a lot together. So.
Yeah, I thought you were going to talk about your bass player.
My dad does. You guys probably know. He's a great musician. He plays bass for us. He plays acoustic. My mom helps leads a women's ministry through our ministry. So I feel like I have the best. And the best thing about them coming into my ministry, they do it for free. Everyone else has to pay a little bit more. But I got some world-class people. And my parents coming in, so I feel super blessed that they're whatever they're around helping. It's good things.
This is going to be so fun. I might just cry the whole time.
Well, I mean, you gave us a little bit what you're doing now. I thought it'd be interesting. Your life. I mean, listeners have heard your name because we tell stories about CJ and Austin. CJ's our number one son. Austin's in the middle, and then Cody.
Well, I don't know about number one. He's the oldest.
There we go. But I mean, your journey. Especially your spiritual journey, but I mean, all the way from you won a Super Bowl with the Rochester Redskins.
That was like Super Bowl.
Everybody's like, you won a Super Bowl? Well, that was, you know, Pee-wee football. Yeah. You were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. But then, I mean, your whole life hasn't been sports, but in the sports world, you go from the Michigan Dream Team, which is the best 20 players in the state of Michigan your senior year.
You all knew this would be about football.
We won't keep it on football, but I mean, then you get a full ride to play college football, and then you end up in the NFL with the Detroit Lions for a couple seasons, and then a pastor. And like you said, you're a pastor at a mega church. Now you've got your own ministry. Give us the journey, the sort of behind the scenes journey. You don't have to go your whole life, but where was God working in your life through that whole thing? Here goes mom. She's going to come.
I was just going to say, let me add this too, because A lot of you, most of you are probably parents as you're listening to this. And don't we all as parents, we long for our kids to walk with Jesus.
Right.
And that's a journey. And we'd like to be able to control it for our kids and make it happen. But each of our kids has a journey and a path they go on. Cody, don't you feel about that with Bryce and Autumn? Like you want them to walk with Jesus, to know him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So where should we start with Cody?
I know we're talking a little bit about even my journey with worship, specifically worship music. And it was funny. I was thinking on the way over of going, you know, my parents started a church, pastored for, was over 30 years at Kensington?
30.
And so, you know, they started and it was a secret church on the weekends. So especially with worship music, they had a thing called New Community, now called Midweek. And I remember being like 8 years old going to Midweek. You'd probably be preaching or playing in the band. And so I'd be next to the mom and we'd be worshiping, but I didn't know the songs and I was kind of scared to sing because I was like eight, so I would mouth the lyrics but I wouldn't let words come out. So this is my starting point. And then I remember
Wait, why didn't you sing them? I probably didn't know the lyrics.
I was scared, you know, you're like, all right, people are gonna hear me, you know. I'm like young, and I remember just mom next to me belting so loud. And you know, so you know, my journey spiritually was growing up in church. But, you know, I was thinking about even discipleship, and I think of this for myself as a parent. I always say discipleship is a demonstration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your kids, you know, we've talked about the greatest thing I was given wasn't the lessons I learned or you taught me, but it was the life I saw demonstrated and laid down for Jesus, which weren't perfect. No perfect parents allowed. But those are the things you remember, are the demonstrations of worship, or waking up and seeing mom on the deck on her knees. And I remember even seeing someone on social media saying, like, if you want to make an impact for your kids, like, let them see you crying before the Lord on your knees before them in the word or in, you know, the presence of God. Like, those are the memories for me that are seared in. Mm. And I say that, like, discipleship's a demonstration. Your kids are learning about marriage by watching your marriage, which is a scary thought. They're learning about how to deal with conflict by seeing how you deal with conflict. They're learning about what it means to follow Jesus in the way you're following Jesus. So, you know, for me, I really looked at your guys' life and it was a surrendered life. You know, you raised support for 15 years. I heard stories of my parents making radical moves of faith and there's inheritance in that. So for me, I grew up in, I think I knew what it meant to follow Jesus was this place of absolute surrender because I'd seen it demonstrated. You know, I grew up, I remember mom specifically, which is weird, giving me a bath at 3 and a half, sharing the gospel with me and me giving my life to Jesus. Like, I remember that.
Wow.
And so I remember, like, that was salvation for me. But, you know, I grew up going to church. I liked being there, always had a relationship with Jesus. I honestly think I was, like, looking back now, probably growing up with pastor's kids, I was like, I was such a bad kid. I was probably a really good kid.
You were a really good kid.
I was, like, following the rules, you know, and I didn't want my parents to look bad, but I felt that. It probably affected me more than I do at the time. You know, but my journey was mostly football, like you said, and my sophomore year at Central Michigan, got voted MVP of the team, was top 10 in the country. But I remember that was my pursuit and still would go to FCA church, but it wasn't my priority.
I remember, Cody, when you were growing up, you had this thing. I don't know why you did this, but you carved things with a knife. you did that with our van.
I remember doing that in our car.
But even like,
he did carve his name on the side of our minivan through the paint.
But, you know, which being a parent now, I thought, where were my parents watching me that this could happen? You know, so.
He did it in a couple minutes.
I remember, football was your dream. And so you'd put things, you'd carve it into this little bed thing you have. But we also had this little prayer little chest thing. And I remember asking you, like, what do you want me to pray for? And you had this dream of, do you remember what you wanted for football? You were praying all the time since you were probably eight.
Well, I always joke, I pray every day that I'd be 5'10 or taller and the best receiver in the nation. And then I turned about 16 and I'm like, why am I only praying to be 5'10? And I'm like 5'9, 5'10 now. But my prayers were that, to be the best receiver in the nation, to be all state. I remember going to Central Michigan in my dorm. You had to go up there early as a freshman in the summer for training, and it oversaw the stadium. And I just look at the stadium and think, like, man, I want to make it. And so, you know, my story a lot was.
And you did your sophomore year.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I made it. And it was like the things I thought would fill me up. I was very empty. I didn't like who I was. And, you know, I remember going out, I had a recruit. It was rare for me to go out and like party or drink. And if I did, I'd get a call from my mom the next morning being like, I was praying for you. Did you go out last night? And I'd be like, oh,
we had cameras in your room.
So I felt like, so, you know, I remember having a night that was rare for me and waking up the next morning and just being like, man, I don't like who I am. I don't like the decisions I'm making. I remember I was with a teammate and he was like, dude, don't worry about it. That's just what you do. You
because
know, as a college athlete. Yeah. And did some stuff I wasn't part of, people I needed to apologize to. And I remember I had some like Christian friends, I didn't want them to know. And they ended up finding out. And I was in my dorm room that night. And I remember one of them spoke to me and they asked, is God enough for you? Yeah. Well, the first thing they asked was, why do you go out and do those things? And I wasn't emotionally intelligent at the time. And sports, pain usually gets in the way of success. So you learn how to stuff pain to succeed. I was like, I don't know why I do those things. I just said, it's just what you do. You know, it's the way of the world. And being a college athlete. And then they asked the question, is God enough for you? And my whole life, I would have been like, yeah, you know, I went on the mission trips, the retreats. I went to church. You know, I had knowledge. I had a lot of knowledge of Jesus, a lot of it from you guys teaching. And, you know, as I started walking through the door, I was super thankful for that because there was like a foundation that wasn't valuable at the time, but became very valuable. And I don't know why, but for some reason that moment, I just realized, no, he's not enough for me. And he hasn't been enough for me. And most of the decisions I made have been about what I want to do, not what he wants for my life. And I think I had this realization of like, honestly, sin and brokenness and places I haven't chosen the Lord. But I had this, you know, I didn't have language for it at the time, but I had this supernatural encounter with Jesus. And I felt his love. You know, it talks about in Romans how the love of the Father fills our heart through the Holy Spirit. And I remember reading that scripture and being like, I think that's what happened, that I knew about Jesus. But that night, it's like I met him and I experienced more than just an intellectual way. I experienced his love for me at a place where I felt the most broken and was very aware of my brokenness and sin. You guys know it was December 4th of 2009. It was so powerful for me. I wept in my dorm room for 2-3 hours. And the people left, and it was so, you know, it says the kindness of God leads us to repentance. And no one told me, but I went through my phone and deleted about 50 contacts about an hour into that were bad for my life. You know, at that point, it's like, you want to influence the world, but I was being influenced by the world because I didn't know who I was. You know, when you know who you are, you can influence your friend groups. I was being influenced by them, and there was just things I needed to get out of my life until I gained maturity. That night changed my life. The way I would say it is, it's like Jesus came into my dorm room, put a key in my heart and said, I love you. And it's time to be who I made you to be. Mm-hmm. And Jesus became real to me. It came more than a sermon, more than my parents' faith. I experienced his love for me. And the way I'd say it now is like when they asked, my friends asked me, why do you do those things? Now I realize I didn't know I was loved by God and I was doing what I needed to do to be loved by the world. I didn't know I was chosen. So I did what I needed to do, be chosen by people, by fans in sports. You know, I didn't know I was accepted by him. So I was looking for acceptance. And I always say, like, everything we're looking for, he freely gives to us, and freely we have been given. So freely we give away. And I think that night it was like, I started to understand I was loved by him. I was accepted by him. I was chosen by him. You know, by his righteousness, I'm holy and blameless, and by faith in him. And so the easiest way to say it was Jesus became real to me.
Let me ask you, you're like, I'm crying, of course, but you're still emotional about it as you're talking. Like, you have tears in your eyes. How are you still emotional about it?
I could talk about it now sometimes and not cry, but for about 2 years after, I think when I encountered him and had this like encounter, which now I'd say with his Holy Spirit, I didn't have language then, and with his love and his presence, when I talk about it, what I experienced and what he, I would even say, deposited in me would just come out. And I think when I'm in that place of, you know, you're talking about first love at our ministry, Living Army, when we talk about first love, you know, in the scripture, it's like, keep your first love by doing the things you did at first in marriage, but in your relationship with Jesus, right? I think when I remember his depth of forgiveness and love and grace, that's what elicits an emotional response. And I think sometimes, you know, when you find Jesus for the first time, you're like, this is amazing. And then after, you know, 10 years, it gets cold. But I think when I'm in that place of first love, even now sharing that story, I remember the depths which he saved me. I remember being like, if anyone wrongs me ever, how could I not forgive them? He's forgiven me. And then like 10 years later, I was like, I need that mindset again. You know, and I think that, and then just, I really believe, man, the Holy Spirit, he pours out the love of the Father into our hearts. And even Paul prays, I, you know, for the church in Ephesus, he's like, give us power to understand the depths of your love beyond even this intellectual place. You know, that's before he says he can do immeasurably more than all you can ask or imagine. But he talks about, God, I pray for this church that they would understand this love that is greater than we can intellectually comprehend. And something happened where I intellectually knew the gospel, but through, I believe, his Spirit, I experienced it, you know? And I think that's why it's still emotional, because it was, one, the most real, true thing in the world, but I experienced Jesus in a very real way that I knew of him. I, you know, I said the prayer, I gave my life to him, but then I felt like I met him that night, you know?
Obviously, we weren't there in that dorm room that night, but you changed.
Oh, yeah, you
did. I mean, we started as parents. Again, this is our prayer since before you were born, is that our sons would walk with Jesus. And he started showing all these signs that, man, you inspired us.
That's what I was going to say. That fire for Jesus, it's like you got close to us and we caught it. Mm-hmm. You know, it reignited us in our passion for Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, talk about what happened, because you... That was sort of the continuation, but also a little bit of the beginning of your journey. You're still, a sophomore?
At that time.
A couple more years in college.
Sophomore, yep.
So, what did that look like?
Well, I think it looked like, you know, it was interesting. You know, right after that, I read a book that you gave me by John Ortberg called If You Want to Walk on Water, Get Out of the Boat. And I read another book called Crazy Love by Francis Chan. And what it looked like for me was saying yes to anything I felt like Jesus was asking me to do and saying no to comfort. And I just, you know, because I was an athlete, I had opportunities to speak. I remember you guys when I was in high school, which I shouldn't have been speaking. You were like, you want to speak with us? I was like, absolutely not. You know, most people are like, I want to be the preacher. I want the platform. I'm like, yo, I've seen the platform and my parents get criticized all the time and they're great at what they do. You know, like, do I want to put myself in front of everyone to be criticized and judged? You know, and so that wasn't like a exciting thing to me. But I remember soon after that, you're like, hey, do you want to preach with me on Father's Day and do this joint teach, which was great. Because kind of like this, you guys drove the ship and I can just.
Is that the time that you said, hey, do you care if I sing?
No, I didn't suggest to sing. You guys said, like, do you want to, like, maybe we could do this song. And I was like, I just decided to sing it.
That's not how we remember it.
No, you're like, hey, I'm thinking of this song.
You came up with the song and said, I'd like to sing.
So this is a classic. This is a classic, you know, probably in the book, you hear some stories and you're like, this is how you think it happened. This is like the Gospels, you know. It's like, well, that's your version. This is how I saw it.
We went to bed that night and we said.
No, I didn't pick the song because I would have picked The Stand by Hillsong. And the song was about standing because I remember being like, it wasn't a like, worship music song. It was like a worshipful moment, but
I
would have picked a different song. But yes, I did put myself out there to be like, I could sing it.
I played acoustic guitar and you sang it and it was awesome.
We're like, he can't actually sing.
Well, there's two things. One, I was singing in my car all the time. The second thing, being an athlete, you usually have to have an unrealistic level of confidence. And,
is that what I have?
Because now I think back and I'm like, this service, my first time ever communicating, went out to 15,000 people. And I was singing with like probably 8 ears and a click, which I'd never done. And I was like, I'd never sung in front of a group of people in my life. I'm like, might as well start with 2,000 people. But my mindset, it was like, I've never sang it. I was like, it'll be great. Like, that's what I thought.
You get that from your dad, me.
But that to say, I remember you asked me to speak and I was like, I don't really want to do this. And I felt like the Lord was like, you need to do it. And I just started saying yes. And I've said that to some people, like courage to me is saying yes to God in the face of fear. And I just started saying yes. If it was leading a small group, I would say yes. If it was leading on a mission trip in college, it was yes. If there was an opportunity for you to speak, I just started saying yes to anything, any door the Lord would open up. And honestly, I wasn't pursuing open doors. I was just pursuing him. And then doors would open and I'd just say yes to it. I've said it my whole life. I've never asked to speak anywhere in my whole life, you know, but he's opened those doors. If anything, it's a red flag to me when people try to,
speak everywhere.
I'd say that's what happened the rest of my time. I just started saying yes to Jesus.
And so I'm assuming your football career just exploded
No, I got injured hey, the no, next
I
would, year.
I would say no. this before, because it wasn't like we just said, hey, Cody, you want to speak at church? Mm. You were speaking up at Central Michigan one night at what was the ministry?
His house.
His house. And you said, hey, I'm speaking. You guys, so we came up, and we sat in the back row with a couple hundred college kids. And that was, you had a gift. And we're like, as parents, you pray that the gifts that your kids have will become known. And we sat in the back, the whole room knew, but we were like,
oh.
Like, he's got a preaching gift. I mean, you were good and on fire. And again, every parent thinks their kid's good, but I'm a preacher. No. So,
well, I would say I got Mr. Miyagi wax on, wax off. You know, I saw it my whole life. But the real thing for me, it's like you can preach but not have a message.
Right. You had fire.
I encountered, like, I remember the first time I was thinking about the other day preparing the talk, which I first gave a joint talk with you and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't bend, they didn't bow, they didn't burn, right? And
there you go.
Great talk. So I gave it to them, and then I got us to talk, and I remember talking to that, and I remember preparing. And I just pictured myself on my knees in my dorm room, and I just felt like, share that. Mm. And I remember being on my knees in front of probably 1,000 college students sharing about encountering Jesus and crying about what I just shared with you guys. And, you know, it wasn't just like, I want to speak. It was like, actually, I didn't want to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Jesus just started doing something in my heart and in my life that was really special. Like, I remember my senior year, we got that stadium I looked at. We did this thing called Fields of Faith through FCA, and we had about over 1,000 people, and I shared the gospel. And I thought about this the other day, and we asked people if they wanted to see Jesus to come down on the field, and there was probably, I don't know how many people, because everyone there came down. There was like 100, 200 people. And I remember after This Is Me, I've been like, that was a cool night at Kensington. There's like 12,000. And now I look back, I'm like, that's crazy. The Lord did that. And we worshiped in our college stadium and had one whole side filled, and the lyrics were on the Jumbotron, and we shared the gospel.
Did Kirk and Cousins come over too?
No, that was AJ, my roommate, who was a Holland Christian guy like Kurt. He was a quarterback after him. He led worship at it, my roommate. Mm. I spoke at it. And it was like a super special season just with who the Lord orchestrated and brought to Central in that time. But that's where I just felt like we just started saying yes to the Lord, not just in public places, but I just started. I remember after I gave my life to the Lord, that next day I opened my Bible for the first time myself. And I knew the Bible, but I'd never really invested in it. I remember every night before I go to bed, I just started reading the Word. And so I was in the Gospels, and Jesus spoke to the disciples. He said, will you follow me? And it says, I remember it says, directly, because the Lord, it was like one of the first times the Lord spoke to me through scripture, and it said they left everything and followed him. And I just felt this invitation in my heart from Jesus to say, will you follow me? And in my heart, I knew it meant leave everything and follow me. And I just remember saying yes by myself in my dorm room. And so I felt like that's the journey of following Jesus. You know, just to, you know, he can make mistakes and pick things back up. But I was just like, in my heart, like, yes, Jesus, I'll go anywhere. Hmm. Whatever you want to do, I want to follow you. And the first thing Jesus calls you to is himself. Hmm. That's what he did with the disciples. He wasn't like, hey, go do these great things. He actually, if he would have told them everything we're going to do at the beginning, they might not have came, you know, and everything that was going to happen. But he was like, come and follow me, which meant just walk with me and learn. And that's what I was saying. The discipleship was a demonstration. They saw what he did. And then when he ascended and commissioned them and gave them the Holy Spirit, he said, go do what I did. Mm. You know, he saw the way I lived my life. Now go demonstrate it as that the Father has sent me. So I am sending you. And so I feel like that's, if you want to represent Jesus, you have to know him. Yeah. And you have to study who he is in the scriptures, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, let the Holy Spirit lead us into all truth. And I think that was my journey of just like, I'm, you know, that's what following Jesus is. And I remember thinking, I know what this looks like, because I have a mom who got married when she was 19 and a dad who was 22 who came from a way, you know, more painful, broken past than I did. But when they found Jesus, they said, Lord, we'll go anywhere. And I heard those stories when I was in high school. I'd ask you guys, I'd get to know you. And it's like, this is what following Jesus looks like. It might mean raising support for 15 years. You know, most Christian families, I like, you know, I've poured into young people, and they're like, my young people want to go raise support and go, like, no, you go to college, you get a job. Yeah. My inheritance was, you live in radical faith and you do whatever God calls you to do. So when I said yes to the Lord, I knew what following Jesus looked like. It looked like going to Nebraska and raising support for 15 years, going to seminary, being the youngest chaplain in Lions history, starting a church and living in faith. Like, that's what it, that's the call of everyone to follow Jesus. You know, we can minimize that, but it's absolute abandonment and surrender and saying yes to him.
I'm wondering, as we close today and continue tomorrow, I'm thinking of parents that are like, I long for that for my kids.
Yeah.
And they're not there. I'm just wondering, Cody, if you could close and pray for those parents and for their kids.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I'd say, which you guys do, I'll pray, because I actually felt like, Lord, what happened on that night? And I believe in some ways the prayers that you guys prayed over my life. You know, Dad fasted every Friday. I know you're praying in faith, but also in worry sometimes. You know, I felt like it, like, I don't know how that works, but it like opened something up for me to experience Jesus at the exact time I needed to, that would be so catalytic for my life. And for me, like, there's places in my life, like, I've thought about even growing up seeing you in the Word. And for my own kids, I'm like, what do I want my legacy to be for my children? I want them to come down the stairs in the morning and see me in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I want them to come down and see me on my knees worshiping the Lord. I want them to have these memories seared in their mind of my pursuit of him. I want them to see me bold with the gospel, with a microphone, but also in a public place. I've had my kids pray with me over people. You know, my girl who cuts my hair, we've like prayed over them together, because I want to give them a demonstration, and I want them to see passion and zeal. Even when I worship in church, I don't want to be a person that's confined or not expressive, because I want them to see me going after Jesus in a tangible way. And I'm demonstrating for them what it looks like to be all in and to be consumed by him and be set ablaze for him. And so, yeah, let me just pray. So, Father, we just pray that for anyone, one, that's listening to this and you can hear that and be like, man, I feel shame. I'm failing. That is not the Lord. And you can do this. We just speak that, like, over your life as a parent. You can do this. And if you feel like you're not at any point, man, there is grace and there is power to walk and live in a new way, God. But we just pray for legacies. I pray that just my parents gave for me. We pray godly legacy. We pray the blood of Jesus over like generational lines, God, that people listening to this, you would start a new legacy. Some people listening to this, like my life has been, you would carry the baton of a legacy, Lord Jesus. But we just release grace, your power, your resurrection power through your Holy Spirit to just touch people. And you would speak life to them, God. You would speak encouragement to them, God, that you say if you are for them, no one can be against them. And so we just pray over children. We pray over marriages. We pray over families, that they would experience your power, your grace, your vision for their life, Lord Jesus, and they'd experience Jesus in a fresh way that's so real it would impact marriages, families, neighborhoods, regions, nations, Lord God. And we just know you are able to do, as we said, immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine by your power that is so able and at work within us, Jesus. So we just pray your grace over everyone listening, that they would, man, experience you in fresh ways and experience your love in greater ways, Lord Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Isn't it obvious how much Cody loves Jesus? And that kind of passion is so infectious. I love it. I love being around people like him. I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson with their son, Cody Wilson, on Family Life Today. Cody is a worship leader, and if you want to check out more about his ministry, figure out what he's doing with Revival Nights and his prayer house and his worship evenings, you can head over to livingarmy.com or check out the link in the show notes. You know, it seems a little bit early, but it's not. We're actually already running a sale right now for the 2025 Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise. It's happening from February 8th through the 15th in 2025. And if you book now, you can save up to $400 per stateroom. I know that seems kind of far away, but it's a great gift to give to your spouse for your anniversary or maybe a birthday coming up soon. Say, hey, we're going to go on a cruise next year. We're going to work on our marriage and we're going to be intentional about walking with Jesus. I've been on the cruise. It's fabulous. It's fantastic. It's warm in the middle of February, which I think is what everyone needs. So if you want to learn more about the details of the cruise, you can head over to lovelikeyoumeanitcruise.com or check out the link in today's show notes. I'm really excited because coming up later on this week, we're going to have a guest who is a Family Life Today favorite. His name is Jeremiah Johnston. He's a PhD, and he's written a book about the proof of the resurrection. It's a study of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not only is it a book, it comes with video access to learn more about how to teach this stuff to other people in your life. So if you're going to be a Bible study leader in your church or in your community, this would be a great resource for you to check out. This book and the study is going to be our gift to you when you partner with us today. So you can get your copy with any donation by going online to familylifetoday.com and clicking on the Donate Now button at the top of the page. Or you could give us a call with your donation at 800-358-6329. Again, that number is 800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Or you could feel free to drop us a donation in the mail. Just send it to Family Life, 100 Lakehart Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32832. And when you do, make sure you write a request in there for Body of Proof by Jeremiah Johnston. That's the study and the book that he has written. It's called Body of Proof. Now, tomorrow, Cody is going to be back with David Ann Wilson to talk about what happened when he went from being a successful football player to a worship leader, which seems kind of like a big jump. But Cody's going to talk about that tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of David Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.